The following presentation is a Barrett Sports Media production. Recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you're the executive producer.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Robinos.
You know, traditionally, in a pandemic, and granted, there's nothing traditional about being in a pandemic, but still, it's not usually when you would think about, do I have the right voice guy on my station? But with governors and presidents and doctors giving press conferences and the news changing every day, think about your imaging voice. Is it the right person to convey the message you want to be sending out right now? If you think it might be time to make a change, go to RyderVO.com. Ryder has a very recognizable voice to sports fans all over the country, and he will give you a custom demo so you can hear what his voice will sound like on your station. We are very happy to have Ryder as the presenting sponsor of the Producers Podcast. Check him out, RyderVO.com. So today, I wanted to talk to Taryn Bland. He is the producer for the Mo Egger Show on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. I just wrote this column for the site about now that the NFL draft is in the rearview mirror, what is the anchor for sports talk going forward? And I thought a great place to start that conversation would be in the city that was, I think, the most wrapped up in the NFL draft, and that was the city that had the first overall pick, Cincinnati. So in this conversation, you will hear about the way Taryn and Mo have structured their show during this time. You will hear about just how much they got out of the NFL draft. And one of the most interesting things you'll hear is the difference between listener interaction before the pandemic and during the pandemic. So check it out. One of the things that I have seen Mo tweeting out every day, and really I think you guys started this right after sports kind of shut down in March, is the sort of like topic, the topic like bingo, you know, you guys are pulling topics out randomly and going off on them. So how did that come to be? What was the genesis for that idea, and what sort of topics do you guys put in as possibilities to pull out and riff on?
Well, the topic lottery came to be, we knew once that Thursday where they started canceling games and shutting everything down, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, the possibility of us not having sports is real.
Yeah.
So we have to come up with something to keep people entertained, keep people listening. And, the topic lottery came up, That was Mo's idea. He it was either a topic lottery, and it was another idea we were gonna do, but he just ultimately decided to get a hopper and come up with a topic lottery and go the whole bingo route.
And did he know he didn't have to actually get the hopper? Like, you guys could have pre-planned out those topics, and the listeners never would have been the wiser.
Yeah, but we didn't know, and luckily we have it now, but we didn't know how long we're going to be without sports. So he wanted to come up with as many topics and ping pong balls as possible so that we could go days upon, or weeks, months, possibly, if we had to do this long term. And luckily for us, like, the NFL draft has happened, so we can.
Well, yeah, so that's exactly what I was going to get to next. The NFL draft. Well, let me ask you this first. Did the NFL draft carry you guys all the way through because the Bengals had the number one pick, or with it being a foregone conclusion for so long that it was going to be Joe Burrow, was there a little less intrigue in Cincinnati than maybe in some other markets?
I would definitely say the draft did. I'd say about 80% of the carrying.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you've probably been aware, it's been a lot of national media personalities just coming up with narratives and storylines about Burrow maybe possibly holding out, or why making a case like why the Bengals should possibly trade for whatever the scenario is. So
yeah,
we've spent a lot of time just addressing that and being so against all those rumors, saying the Bengals have to take Burrow. This is their chance. They can't mess this up. You have to take Joe Burrow. So It's just been a lot of that, been a lot of responding to the national media attention when it comes to the Bengals and what they should have done with the first pick.
So after the pick was made, and I know that as we're recording this, you guys have only done three shows since that first pick was made, but you guys are the flagship station of the Bengals. The cluster as a whole has a good relationship with the team. Usually you would think that would mean that the first round pick is on with you guys sometime in the last few days, but with everything that has gone on and the inability really to get face to face and work some of these things out with the team, have things been different this year from the past, the way you would handle a first round draft pick on air?
No, I'll say things have been about normal. Usually, we get the first round draft pick. Sometimes they will get them the night of the draft, because we have a draft show the right night down the hall on 700 WLW. So normally the later picks, they would have them on possibly the night of, but this year they just decided to just have them on the next day, and it was real simple and real much easier, and I think easier now to get Joe Burrow with everything going on with the pandemic, because I mean he's just at home, he's in one spot, so a lot of people can reach out and get to him. And yeah, we had Burrow on the fall last Friday, and everything worked out real fine.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of my question, kind of assumes that you have to go through the Bengals, but going straight to Joe Burrow, I mean, it's not like he can say he's busy right now, right?
Right. But yeah, but like I said, we still went through the Bengals, and Bengals were great at setting everything up for us. But yeah, everything worked out.
And so the next night, that follows up by getting T. Higgins, who obviously was not the best receiver in the draft necessarily, but he is. You know, I watch a lot of college football, and that's a guy that every time I watched him play, I thought, I did not think the human body was meant to bend that way, making catches. Like, it seems like there is a lot of reason for Cincinnati fans, maybe more than any other fan base in the NFL outside of Tampa, really want an NFL season to happen this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, T. Higgins, I love watching college football, and the things he's done down at Clemson has been amazing. And I actually like the pick for the Bengals, because with the uncertainty future of A.J. Green, I mean, we know he's on a franchise tag this year. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if the Bengals are willing to possibly pay him long term to stay here. So, and the thing with John Ross, John Ross has kind of been a bust so far.
Yeah.
So like I said, right now the only short thing at receiver is Tyler Boyd. So bringing T. Higgins, I think is great for the organization. He has a year to study under a veteran like A.J. Green. And if A.J. Green can stay healthy and maybe get two or three more years with the Bengals, he doesn't necessarily have to be pushed into the spotlight right there. He can kind of take his time and shine. So I love the pick with T. Higgins.
Are you guys taking a lot of phone calls or listener interaction via Twitter or text line right now?
We do a little bit of everything. His social media is very active. He gets a lot of responses and questions on there, but we do also still take phone calls as well.
Have they fallen off at all since the pandemic sort of forced everybody back home and out of their cars?
Obviously, I would say that they picked up, and
oh wow.
Usually from my end as a producer, we get phone calls, and you know, people would maybe hold on line for maybe a segment or two, and then if mm-hmm. he goes to commercial break, they'll probably drop off and go away and never call back. But now, with a lot of people not being able to work or do anything, a lot of people have been holding on a lot longer. I mean,
wow!
This past week we had callers hold on for like 2 hours just to get on. So I would say that the telephone numbers have increased.
Well, that's interesting, because a part of me kind of wondered if Cincinnati being such a, I mean, there aren't a lot of towns that are into Major League Baseball the way Cincinnati is. I mean, to me, St. Louis and Cincinnati are in their own class, where, you know, Boston and New York are into baseball, but there's so much else going on there. I genuinely wondered if the lack of a red season to this point would have affected the overall enthusiasm of the sports fan in Cincinnati. It sounds like you guys, you and Mo both really seem to understand the importance of things like that topic lottery and like mining all you can out of the NFL draft in a way that engages people that maybe, you know, maybe it's not absurd to say feel a little bit lost right now.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely feel that without the Reds being played, where, like I said, we're not getting a lot of Reds calls like we would normally do if there was a Reds season. But like I said, with the excitement of around having number one pick, excitement of Joe Burrow coming to Cincinnati, Bengals are, at least as long as I've been the producer for Mo, the Bengals have always been the number one topic, number one sports thing for Mo Egger. I was able to go Bengals, Reds, and then Bearcat football and basketball.
Yeah, I know he is a big time Bearcats guy. You have a background in music radio, right? You came to Mo from the hip hop station in the building.
No, actually, I just began the music part last year.
Wow,
I came in about four years ago, a year removed from college, and I started down the hall on a talk station at 700 WLW.
Wow. So I have this business, this format, sports radio, is filled with a ton of people that came out of rock radio, and then a smaller segment that came out of hip hop or pop, an even smaller segment that came out of country. I don't know that I've ever heard of someone going the other way. I would imagine you always had passion for the music and were just looking for the opportunity, or was it a matter of they needed somebody and there you were?
That was just me just creating opportunity for myself. The producer part of my job, I can do that in my sleep. That's easy for me. And for me, I almost got bored with it, and I just wanted something else that challenged me. When I first got into this business, it was ultimately to try to be on air. And while that goal still persists, I still want that to ultimately be on air. It's taking me a little while longer than what I thought. So it's like, while I'm still building up my resume and trying to convince the management to let me get on our shot, let me try this. And I had no interest in being on the music side. I dabbled in the DJ world, but I never took it serious. And just last May, I decided, hey, heck, let me try this, and it's worked out for me so far.
So you're doing a mix show on The Beat there in Cincinnati, right?
Yes, sir. Every Friday and Saturday.
So how much of those skills are being put to use for 1530 in terms of production? Obviously, you're not doing the same sort of beat mixes for the sports station that you're doing for The Beat, but I would imagine you have to have a certain level of skill to be able to pull off a beat show. And if you have that level of skill, I would imagine your bosses at 1530 want to take advantage of that. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, for me, I think the thing that separated me from all the other producers is as you said earlier, my love for music. The thing with Mo, I always incorporate sort of a hip hop sound to his show.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about Mo that I respect. He allows me to have full control of the music, other than any Will Smith or Pitbull. He says I cannot play Will Smith or Pitbull at all.
Hang on. Is that a problem? Like, are you a very passionate Will Smith and or Pitbull fan?
Pitbull, not so much. Will Smith, he just doesn't like anything after his work with Jazzy Jeff.
That's fair.
So getting jiggy with it, Men in Black, anything past 1990, he doesn't like. He doesn't like any of Will Smith's.
It is. Didn't you say you're only like 5 years removed from college? It is mind blowing that that would have to be a rule for you.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it is. But I mean, I still sneak a little Will Smith in there here and there just to get Mo's reaction. And
yeah,
it's not a very strict rule, but we have an understanding, and it's real fun to poke at.
Yeah, that you have an understanding that sometimes there's just going to be Will Smith on the show, and what can he do about it?
Yes, right.
So one thing that has been really interesting during this pandemic to watch happen in Ohio is even before Andrew Cuomo in New York, your governor kind of became something of a celebrity and calming force around the state. How much of Mike DeWine's daily press conferences find their way into just the regular pop culture talk of your show?
Zero.
Really?
Yeah. Are you saying for my show the beat or the
for the sports show?
For the sports show, yeah, zero. Mo, we try to stay as far away from the politics end of it. He may that, like, if there's a real big headline that someone said, he may talk about it just for a brief moment. But anything that Governor DeWine says in the press conference daily, Mo doesn't mention any of it on there.
So what about before it became apparent that sports was going to be hitting the pause button and Mike DeWine was very vocally saying that he didn't want NCAA tournament games in the state? Was that something you talked about then? Like, did it have to be tied to sports, or was it just, if it comes from the governor, that's not really our territory, we'll let WLW deal with it?
I mean, we addressed it. We were saying, just talking about how, I mean, we would, what could we do if that was the only way to provide sports? I mean, we'd be all for it. And we just talked about how different it would be, and would it be watchable on TV? But as DeWine's comments, it is what it is.
Yeah, so at this point then, now that the NFL draft is in the rearview mirror, is there, or have you and Mo talked about, is there something that you guys can come back to as that anchor, the way the NFL draft was for the better part of a month and a half for sports radio all over the country? Or is now the time that the topic lottery and your creativity with whether it's production skills or just bringing in pop culture or daily lifestyle topics, is now a time that becomes even more important? Or will you be able to find Cincinnati sports topics to still talk about during this time?
My opinion, I believe starting next week, I think the topic ladder will be back for sure.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being creative and coming up with topics, we definitely going to have our work cut out for us this week. Not so much. I mean, we still got a lot of draft talk we could still talk about and break down the Bengals draft. But as far as next week and moving forward with the uncertainty of any of sports in general, yeah, it's going to be challenging. But I'm definitely up for the challenge to try to keep folks entertained and listen again to the show.
I want to thank Taryn Bland for joining me on today's show. I thought one of the most interesting things he talked about was the number of people that want to interact with the show that are more willing to wait longer to do so. He talked about people holding on for 2 hours just to get on with Mo Egger and him in the afternoons in Cincinnati. I think that is a great picture of how much the familiar voices on the radio mean to listeners right now, and why, especially as we enter a time with no real anchor in the sports world, it is more important than ever to find ways to relate to your audience, whether it is talking about what you're going through, being stuck at home, trying to homeschool kids, whatever. I do think it's important right now to be as relatable to your audience as possible, because without sports, there are going to be a lot of people that wonder, I guess, what the role is of sports radio in their life right now. I do wonder how Stick to Sports Guy is weathering this just national nightmare that we're all going through. So the more that the people listening can see themselves in you right now, the better. And that's why I would encourage you to really be unafraid to live life on air, whether that is just talking about your day-to-day or coming up with bits that you can work some of your personal life and relatable situations into. Anyway, that's where we're going to put a pin in it for today. Thank you so much to Taryn Bland. Thank you so much to Ryder VO for presenting the show. I'll talk to you next week.
Unbelievable. Maybe the show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Dimitri, follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravenos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com.